This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I think it's episode 269, and we're coming up on summer. It's like 83 degrees outside, so it's toasty in the car because I don't have my air conditioner fixed yet, and I think I'm going to try to get through one more summer with no air conditioning. So this is when this gets exciting, because now that I have my haircut, I can just roll down the window, but of course I really can't roll down the window too much when I'm trying to do one of these, because it'll go... So we're just going to go home this way. So if I pass out in the car, going, it's not that bad, it's I can get a little air coming in from outside, I can do that. So we'll do that. It's only 83 outside, so probably in the car it's probably 90. Maybe I should, that's what I should do for the summer. I should give myself a little temperature gauge so I can tell when I'm up over 100 inside the car. Maybe I'll crack the window at that point. That'll be my rule. If I get over 100 degrees inside the car, I'll roll the window down a little bit. Anyways, all is well. Things are puttering along, coming to the end of the discovery phase of the big project that I've been working on. That seems to be going well. I have a big presentation to do for the executive council, the EC's executive committee, I think it's called, in a couple of weeks. That'll be a couple of weeks from today. But I did my presentation this week, got my PowerPoints together, sent off the final draft of the discovery document to everyone today that's on a kind of a subcommittee. And then I'm going to spend the next week and a half, next week, building some reports and some examples of the type of data that we can pull and yada, 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 like that, like that. And then hopefully... in a couple of weeks here, we'll go ahead and have that committee meeting and see if we can't get our green light to move forward to the next phase, where we actually pound out a design for how we're going to deliver some of this information that we can scrape off of the existing data. This first little sub-project that I'm proposing actually should be a fairly simple project to get going, simply because it's just reporting, and they need some extra reporting and some visualizations of their data to see where they're at. And so it would, you know, I think it would benefit them to see this sort of trending, and it's something that shouldn't be that hard to get to. We have to figure out how we're going to deliver it. But it really shouldn't be that hard to get to. So we're going to give it a try. We're going to see. So that all is going well. Just caught a whiff of something. Smells like it's burning. Hopefully it's not my car. So that's all well and good. I did get the book finished up, Windfall 1. I think I'm calling it the 99 and 1. So I did get that finished up on Saturday last week. So instead of it taking me what I'd hoped to be done originally, like the first or second week of April, it actually took me another 4 or 5 weeks. But that's because the book is 387 pages long as opposed to 300 pages long. But I'm reading through it now, and it seems to be holding. I think it's a good first book in the series. Introduces a lot of stuff. Got some action, got some sex. Not people having sex, obviously, but some titillation and things, of course, you know. And it has some interesting propositions that it floats. So this is gonna be fun. It's gonna be an interesting series. Started to put together some pieces for the cover on it. Ordered a little dress from my granddaughter that's sort of a Victorian, Edwardian little dress. So we're going to turn her into Bo Peep. Looks a little short, but we'll try it out on her and see. We did measure her before, so, but I think it has to do with the sleeves. The sleeves are real long, and they're meant to kind of come up on the wrist and then poof the sleeves up a little bit. So we're going to try it and get her a little slip to wear underneath it, and I've got her a little mop cap to wear and the shepherd staff to carry, and we'll probably put a bow on that. So this, it should be fun. It should just be fun. So that's all going fine. I don't think there's any way I'm going to make a July 1st beta release. I mean, it's just, there is just too many things to do. It may be July 15th or possibly August 1st, but there's just too much to do. Which is fine. You know, if it turns into the fact that it takes me 9 months to actually get one of these books, or 8 months to actually get one of these books put out, I'll just put them out as quickly as I can. And, you know, the next one probably is going to take a little longer, simply because I had the benefit of having a rough story arc for this one. So from here on out, everything's coming up from scratch. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. I just really enjoy it. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm already starting getting some ideas. I mentioned that last week on the next one. And that's forming up. It's fun. Anyways, I had several nice conversations with friends this week. It's good, you know? Get other people's viewpoints and to bounce things off of them. And it's good. It really is good. So, anyways, this week, I actually I've got a whole queue of things in my queue now to do podcast on. And I thought this was just one of those kind of nice things to review. I know it helped me. Because as we go along in our lives, you know, the things that we know, especially when we get busy, the things that we know have a tendency to slip a little bit. And so it's, you know, it's good to have a few little refreshers and say, oh yeah, I could be doing that better. So that's what today is all about. A little refresher of I could be doing that better. The title of the article was How to Live Happily Ever After by Daniel Jones. And I actually thought it had some good stuff in it. And he was talking about marriage. And Daniel Jones, author of Love Illuminated, explains... Okay, somebody else wrote this article and used his book quite a bit, apparently, in it. Explains that we spend our youth asking, how do I find love? And midlife asking, how do I get it back? My first reaction to this is, oh, come on. But it's true, we do that. Especially here in the States. I grew up in the Philippines, and in the Philippines, while it wasn't rampant, they certainly did have arranged marriages. And of course, in India, it is rampant there. They don't look at this marriage stuff as, well, we'll just, you know, hope you run into somebody that you can fall in love with. They're like, ah, forget that. We're two good families. We're going to have a little union between our families, and you'll work it out. Which this article actually refers to arranged marriages a little longer, and it kind of confirms what my verbal experience has been. Not that I've known many people who are in arranged marriages, but I heard about it when I was in the Philippines, and it did confirm what I heard about in the Philippines about the nature of arranged marriages and how they progress. So the author was talking about the fact that we hold this thing up, this feeling of love, this being in love with this other person, and what that does and where it leads us. They were quoting some statistics that are a bit sobering. They were saying that in the first year of marriages, couples score 86% for marriage satisfaction. By the seventh year, it's under 50%. They were also saying that, yes, it's true that about 50% of couples get divorced. But they said it's also true that another 10 to 15% separate and don't file paperwork, and 7% more are chronically unhappy in their marriages. So, you know, you really got 50 plus 15, that's 65, plus 7, that's 62, which means that the real stat is that about 2/3 of marriages do not live happily ever after. And they're saying, you know, they have a whole big explanation for it. Me, I just call this flesh, but that's okay. Their explanation is that it's habituation. That over time we get bored. Well, isn't that just too bad? I mean, really, I get bored with my spouse. There was a hysterical clip, but I can't really repeat the language on it. Chris Rock was doing this hysterical clip about knowing what the other person is going to say after you've been married for a while. And it's all just flesh-driven. It's just completely flesh. Because the spirit response to this is, of course, I know what this person is going to say. I've lived with them for so long, and we're comfortable in this marriage, and I should be really grateful that I have someone who loves me, who's willing to be in a relationship with me, and I can find things to be grateful about, and, you know, I don't necessarily have to get irritated every time I turn around just because some little thing isn't done the way I want it, because that's flesh too. But of course, that's not what they talk about. So, they talk about habituation, which is a fancy way of saying that we get bored. And so then, oh, how do we solve this problem that we're bored? Well, you know, if you want to apply the resources to solve it, there's a guy who wrote this thing called The Art of Seduction. And he says, you know, what's key? Surprise is the key to romantic feeling. So in order to keep that spark alive, what you have to do is you have to be surprising. You know, do something out of the ordinary. Okay, well, that's fine. That is true, by the way. You know, if you make some effort on it, you do some things that are surprising. I mean, whether they go good or bad, you at least you have a new experience you can share together. And that's you know, that's actually true. What was interesting is they started talking about arranged marriages and the statistics of arranged marriages. They were talking about the fact that researchers compared 50 arranged marriages to 50 love marriages. And they said the fact was that arranged marriages start out less happy, but after 10 years, they're actually happier than love marriages. And they stay that way, which is pretty interesting. They said that couples who'd been married love marriages, okay, that those couples averaged 70 out of 91 points on a love scale. But those numbers keep falling over time because all that thing that enthralled you, oh, he's so perfect for me, I'm going to be in love the rest of my life. Yeah, well, it doesn't work out that way because that is a bunch of hooey. And it's mostly driven by the flesh, frankly, because it's mostly selfish. oh, that person over there is just going to make me happy. I can't be happy in myself. I don't know how to do it. I need someone to make me happy. Okay, well, that's flesh. So what you do, though, is you have this mutual insanity for a while when you get married, where everything's like, oh, this is going to be so wonderful. And then you just got to work it out. Well, typically what happens is that over time, as people try to work it out, they don't end up working it out. And so it keeps falling and falling. And they were saying that the love couples, after they had been married for 10 years or longer, had an average score of only 40 points, 40 out of 91. Because all that insanity had started to rub off. They said, in contrast, when you look at couples in arranged marriages, they were less in love at the outset. They only scored 58 points on the love scale. But their feelings increased over time to score an average of 68 after they'd been married for 10 years. So they were saying, well, what is the secret of this? Well, guess what? The secret is they aren't sitting there expecting to have all these little love feelings to make them feel this and that, or have someone else make them feel this. They understand that it is their responsibility to not disgrace their families by having a problem, and so they decide to work at it. They know they have to work at it. And so they work at it. They don't rely, as the article says, they don't passively rely on magic and intense emotion. They have to spend a lot of time thinking about how to make it work. They said, for the arranged marriage, the goal is to figure out how to be married, not whether to be married. Not whether to marry. Yeah, okay. And, you know, this, of course, is, it all goes back, this thing of this love marriage, it's all inspired by a bunch of these fairy tales. Where, like, Cinderella, oh, she's in such terrible straits. And then the prince comes along and affirms her by saying, oh, you're so beautiful. And then she lived happily ever after. Okay, that's a bunch of hooey. They talk in the article that feeling like it's all magic, that if that's what you're looking for, that love, and that it's just this magic feeling, they said feeling that it's all magic means it's out of your control. And without that initial magic, well, it's just hopeless. Fact is, it's not hopeless. Any two people who are married can remain married if they're willing to take care of the flesh responses in themselves and live according to the spirit. Period. Just a second. I'm getting my note. And it's really almost possible if you just have one person. Hey, I got a book. Yay. I ordered some books on fairy tales and the meanings of fairy tales and where they came from and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of fun. So that's one book. I've got another book coming in. Damn it. Gotta check. Oh, there's a big package in here. Oh, that's my little shepherd staff for my granddaughter. It's her little Bo Peep canes. Oh, we're having fun now. And they were saying one of the worst things that you can do in this situation, you know, if your spouse is just not cutting it, you know, they're just not doing it, is to try to convince your spouse that they need to change. Yeah, that doesn't work. Because they did a bunch of studies and said that, you know, it's just pretty much set that no matter how much you try to push your spouse to change into something that you want them to be, it's never going to work out like you want it. Never. So, of course, then the question is, okay, well, fine then. So, backing into my garage. So, what in the world are we supposed to do here, you know? First of all, I think you need to unconvince yourself that it's some kind of magic, and you need to reconvince yourself that it just takes work. It takes work to be married, takes work to appreciate each other. And you need to kind of knock out the flesh's impulse in your life and just get down to the real life of working things out. And their way of putting that was that the best relationships are more about increasing the good than reducing the bad. They said divorce may have less to do with an increase in conflict and more to do with a decrease in positive feelings. And so they were saying really what you need to do is focus on what's good in your relationship and build on that, and then not keep, you know, harping on the other things that aren't good. One of the things they said that's true that I think is really good is they said that just a pleasant date night is not what it really keeps to, you know, keep that love going in the relationship if that's what you're interested in. They said you really need something a little more excitement, that's more exciting. Something that maybe, you know, kind of scares you a little bit, something that gets you out of your comfort zone, but something that you can do together. You know, you learn to dance together. You go out, you do something that sort of puts you on the spot a little bit. And I thought that was an interesting, observation. And I do think that's true. Because if all you're just going to go is you're just going to go on a pleasant date night, you know, you do that and you do it over and over and, you know, and whatever. They said there was also another element of this, and really this just comes down to reducing the flesh. They would say, so you're hopping on roller coasters and going whitewater rafting, but what do you need to do when you're there? And the answer is pretend that you're on a first date. Said after a series of studies, participants underestimated how good they would feel in situations that required them to put their best face forward. In other words, when you're on a first date, you're trying to present, you're kind of keeping your flesh down and you're presenting that spirit within you, that best face you can put forward. And they were saying that on first dates, we make an effort to impress and we're full of hope. So that if when you get together, you know, you kind of treat it like a first date, like you're getting to know each other. And then they said that actually will help. And I don't doubt that would help. I mean, that sounds like that would help to me. So, I mean, it's good sometimes just to kind of remind ourselves of a few of these things. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all really just flesh and spirit. And, you know, that thing, if you're having some struggles in your marriage and that thing in you that's going, well, she needs it. Okay, that's just flesh. If you've made a commitment, live with the commitment. Do what you can to be a positive influence in your marriage. Live according to the Spirit. Speak kindly. Go to quiet when there's conflict. Figure out how to speak to the Spirit and not react to the flesh. All those basic things will create an environment where there is the possibility that love can grow and love can flourish. Now, of course, if the other person just absolutely ain't having any of it, well, you know, then you have a little bit more of a challenge in front of you. But, it still can be done. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.